This one's creepy. Monkeys controlling robot arms with their minds show how brains can be reprogrammed. All of this is wrong.
Every bit of it. Everything from monkeys to arms.
Every part of the sentence is wrong. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so we're going to kick off with Michael F. This is still a part of the five pack, I think, that he sent in.
Yeah, so Michael F., a dedicated listener. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's going on?
Sent us an email.
Full of advice.
There were a couple of links, so we've been
kind of meeting it out,
piecing it out, all this gold, show by show.
I think this might be the last morsel of gold. But in any case, this is Advice on Advice. It's a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet, or Michael F. sends it in to us. And it's advice that stinks.
Yes, and it's unqualified.
And we want to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. So what's in the Michael F. trove?
This was a cheating series.
Okay,
We were addressing.
Infidelity addressed.
Yes. Okay, so dear Amy, my husband and I are aware that our daughter-in-law has been cheating on our son for over a year.
Okay.
The person
she's, over a year?
Yeah. Over the person she's cheating with is also a friend of our son.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not really, though, if he's stroping his lady.
We are afraid to say anything because we have no hardcore proof, such as photographs or tapes.
So she's writing this for the both of them? I love this couple already. What if they're like, they're sitting around like, what do we have?
But I love the idea, like, that they're calling it hardcore. It just is so evocative of porn. We don't have the tapes or pictures.
They don't want any softcore evidence. Just hearsay. Just to titillate.
They want the hardcore.
They want hardcore.
Our son is very trusting, and there's no way he will believe us without such proof.
Oh, so they feel like they have to catch them in flagrante.
Yes. I love that word.
Me too. I just imagine two people like, huh?
Yeah.
Like locked together.
If we tell him, the end result will be that we won't be permitted to see our grandchildren and perhaps our son as well.
Why?
Well, if you... Because of the blowback.
Okay.
When you deliver the bad news.
And also maybe there's some latent beef between this woman and the parents as well. Mm-hmm. Because she probably knows that they know.
Yes.
At this point. Right. And it's like, bring it.
Right.
You know, you'll lose everything.
Right. And, you know, and what happens if it's like the son is just turning a blind eye? And
he doesn't
want to
know about it.
Doesn't want to know, can't come to terms with it yet. Or what if this is kind of, maybe he cheated as well.
Or maybe some weird Roma Polanski thing and it's a three-way. but they break it up time-wise. Like a tag team thing.
Okay.
All right.
We are devastated. The level of lies and deceit is astounding. I'm trying just to look the other way, but this is becoming more and more difficult.
I love how they keep saying we. We are devastated.
Yeah, we.
We are not amused.
Can you give us advice to help us deal with this? Signed, distraught mom.
Okay. So this has been going on for how, a year?
A year. They know about it. What do they do?
What do they do? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm scared to find out.
Okay. Dear distraught, investigating your daughter-in-law in search of hardcore proof of her infidelity is an offensive concept.
In search of. Narrated by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, right.
Why is that offensive?
If you see something with your own eyes...
Say something. Like in the MTA.
I know, right?
I think I may have brought this up before. Once Greg and I thought we saw something, and we told a cop, and he was like, "Have you guys been drinking?" We're like, "Yeah."
It's
a Friday night.
Yeah,
of course we've been drinking, but we still think we saw an alien coming out of this guy's neck. Whatever.
We're gonna say something. I say something too.
Yeah.
Do they listen?
I
am Katie Kazmir, Street Justice Warrior.
Street Justice by Katie Kazmir. Yeah.
I always insinuate myself into situations where somebody's getting into an argument.
And then here you come.
Yeah.
Does the argument then diffuse, or does it get ratcheted up to
usually,
a fever pitch?
Usually the guy will yell at me, and I'll just stand there face to face with him.
I'm taking it.
Fine.
Lady, get out of here.
Yeah.
I'll take this one for you.
Yeah.
No, I do that too. I do it when I find that the other person either can't defend themselves or won't. I'm like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? This isn't about you. I'm like, it is now.
Yeah. Somebody said to me, the guy told me, mind your own business. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, this is my street. This is my town. You come to my street, my town, and you yell at women on the streets. It's not my business.
In Hoboken?
Yeah.
Whole Hoboken.
Yeah.
Whole New Jersey.
Yeah. Anyway, so here we go. Okay. Something, say something. But back to this. Okay. If you see something with your own eyes, then you should tell your son what you saw.
Okay.
Like, for instance, on Tuesday.
A beach. I saw a beach. I'm saying something. I saw it.
On Tuesday, we saw Carol and Steve walking into the Notel Motel together, hand in hand.
Oh, come on. Who's going to do that? They're going to meet there separately.
Yeah.
You know.
You just slip a card under a door.
Yeah.
The key card, that is. Not a playing card.
Not a playing. The Jack of Spades. You know what's up, girl. It's about to be on.
Let's see. You should tell your son what you saw, but not draw conclusions for him. If someone else has direct knowledge, then that person, not you, should respond. You know your son intimately. Mm-hmm. Would he want to know about your suspicion? From what you say, the answer is probably no.
So, okay, there's a whole lot of things going on here. So
there's more advice.
All right, I can't wait, though.
Okay.
So is this advice to not say anything? Is that where that's going so far? Don't say anything? How could I not? I would feel like I would be betraying the person. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, relaying some news.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a beach. Draw your own conclusions. You know? Make up it what you will.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a friendly hello.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe she tripped. I don't know.
Let's see. It is most ethical to act in a way that will cause the least harm. If you know without a shadow of a doubt that the children are somehow at risk, then you must act. However, if you simply want to prove what a dishonest, wretched woman your son is married to, or if your son's being a chump embarrasses you or him, then no, you should not act.
I mean, how are you... Okay, so this is now putting the onus on the person who was witnessing the infidelity
mm-hmm.
and taking it completely away from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right. Is that how that works? So if I see something happening that I know is wrong, now it's all on me?
Well, it is wisest to stay out of other people's marriages. This is not ignoring unethical behavior. It is making it a determination that you don't know everything that goes on between two people and that you won't interfere unless there is very clear danger.
It is exactly what they said.
If your son is locked in an abusive relationship, then the most important thing is to keep the door open for him, free of shame or blame.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always knows he has a safe space to land with his children. I don't know how this came to...
Me either.
Took a hard left to abuse.
Yeah, she's just fucking other people, man. This is like straight up just cheating with a friend.
Yeah, and then just carrying on a charade.
But I think when you talk about... It's abusive in terms of like abusing someone's confidence. Mm-hmm. So is this guy coming over to the house, hanging out? They're good buddies. He's hanging out with the kids. Like, they're doing stuff socially together. Mm-hmm. And then on the side, he's fucking the dude's wife.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it is.
That makes me a little worried about the kind of people that the son is surrounding himself with.
Yeah.
Like, is he letting everybody walk all over him like this? Mm-hmm. Or why doesn't he see what's going on? I feel like that level of it, like, if you can't notice some shady shit going on between one of your best friends and then what's supposed to be your other best mm-hmm. friend, your wife, mm-hmm. then where are you?
Yeah.
Like, what planet are you living on?
Because
mm-hmm. I remember times in my life where I've just seen people together and be like, they fucking. And I'm sure you've seen it too.
Yes.
Like, you just see, not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
Like, you see it on the job. Sometimes where you're like, oh, okay, they're trying to keep on the DL and that's cool.
Yeah.
But there's clearly something going on there. It's not like it's a pubic hair, you know, on the cheek or anything.
Yeah. What?
But it's like more subtle than that. I don't know.
You're collecting forensic.
That's what I mean. Like, you're not going around being like, stay still. Pluck.
You got your tweezers.
Yes.
And a little Ziploc.
Yeah, and I'm working with mitochondrial DNA. That's not where I am. I'm not spraying down a place looking for, you know, stains of any kind. All right. I don't know about this.
What's the thing?
I'd want to know. I'd be mad if someone, like a relative or a friend, knew that my relationship was, you know, not what I thought it was mm-hmm. and they didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everyone's going to get it. That's going to be an interesting Kwanzaa celebration. I'm going to light a candle for each person and be like, this one's for you. Because I would feel like a chump.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
Everybody else knows what's going on.
Yes. Everybody but you.
Your own parents know and they don't tell you.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it's like, then it's, who are you closer to? Obviously, I think, well, if the mother and father, that's their son. Yeah, tell their son what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, this is what I saw.
Yeah, a beige or whatever it is. Yeah. I guess the other way to go might be to talk to the other guy and be like, what's going on? I don't, you know.
No, I don't want to give the other guy the heads up. I'd tell the son, I'd be like, look, how it's your marriage, and however you want to handle it is up to you, because I don't know.
But this is what
I've seen.
This
is what I know. I just want you to know what I know.
Yeah.
And I stand by you, whatever you want to do.
Fine. Yeah. If you want to ignore it, fine. If you want to pursue it, fine. I think that's a better way to go. I was just going to shout it to the rooftop. Dirty B.
Yeah.
All right. Not bad. Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough. I have to say. I just don't have a lot of drama in my life, I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody I know, as far as I know, is pretty much on the straight and narrow, or I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
These kind of dilemmas don't come my way. So speaking of, well, I'm gonna do a little penis news. This is a member on the move, Scrotum Stories, Dick Updates. I could not resist this one. Man shoots self in penis while robbing hot dog stand.
Oh,
Get out.
I know.
No, I was like, it writes itself, right? So I'll just cut to the chase on this one. Basically, there was a guy called, his last name is Pouncy.
Pouncy.
I know. Pouncy. And you know what? Normally I wouldn't make fun of this kind of thing, but this guy put a gun in someone's face. And I feel like once you do that to someone, once you scare the living daylights out of whatever happens to you afterwards, I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pouncy, he goes into a... He had a .38 caliber pistol, and he went into an express, Maxwell Street Express, place, I guess they sell hot dogs there, whatever. Right. Pouncy pulled out a gun, demanded cash from the two employees, and he put the gun to the head of one of the workers.
Oh.
All right. The victim, who had been passing a bucket filled with grease over the counter, called for his coworker to hand over the cash. Mm-hmm. He was like, dude, get over here. We're being robbed.
I'll be right there.
So they took out the cash from the register. That wasn't enough for Pouncy. He said, give me your wallets. People, if you're doing a robbery,
just rob the place. Just don't make it personal.
Yeah.
So look, an employee is going to be like, fine, take it. It's not my stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, why do you have to take a guy's wallet?
Yeah.
So anyway, as they were passing their wallet, a stack of singles, the bucket tipped over of oil and the bills flew everywhere.
Oh.
Still at gunpoint, Pouncy stooped. He was holding people at gunpoint. Pouncy stooped over to collect the cash. As he was shifting the gun in his waistband, he accidentally pulled the trigger, shot himself in the dick. Then one of the restaurant employees then began wrestling with Pouncy as he tried to run off. Because at this point, they've been robbed personally.
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen situations like this before. And I've been in a situation myself when someone snatched my phone.
Yeah.
But then I realized that they weren't able to get away. I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's on. You know what I mean? These guys are, like, pissed off. So they wrestled with him. And then he staggered out in the street and ended up, you know, getting caught later on. Because, you know, clearly he was bleeding from the old man, as it were. What do they call it? John Thomas or whatever?
John Thomas.
What a dick. You know, really? He shot himself while trying to...
You know, sometimes you get to different points in your life and you're like, how did I get here? How did I get here? Do you ever have those moments where you're like...
Where he's like, script freeze frame. Hi, my name's Jakarta Satmari. Yeah, that's me.
That's me. Let me tell you. A week ago, I never thought this would happen to me.
Totally.
This is what I was doing.
A week ago, I was on top of the world.
Yeah. I ate everything.
I don't know. This guy, Pouncy. Yeah, it says Pouncy. Doesn't give his first name. But they found him bleeding from the John Thomas, as it were.
Wow.
After trying to rob these people. Really? Really? Mm-hmm. This is Darwin Award stuff right there. Why do you have a loaded gun pointed at your dick? In your waistband. These people watch too much TV.
I know, they do watch too much TV.
Why would you have a loaded gun?
This is what people don't take gun safety courses. Here.
No, and they don't understand what a hair trigger is. Anyone who's ever worked with guns or shot a gun or taken a gun safety course knows that it goes off really easily.
Yeah.
Really easily. It doesn't have to be your finger. In this case, it was, I guess, I don't know, something on his waistband, maybe a belt buckle or something.
Right, right.
And then, boom, there goes your penis. Moral of the story, people. Don't roll out of a hot dog stand with a gun in your waist.
Yeah, go take some classes.
Yeah, take a class.
How to handle a gun.
Gun safety. So bizarre.
It's bizarre.
And I feel bad for the employees. They're just, like, trying to, like, do their thing.
Yeah.
They tried to give him the money. They knocked shit over. Then they started wrestling with him. That's the worst day ever at the hot dog stand. All right, what do you
have? They never thought when they got up in the morning, this is how my day's going to go.
That would be their movie, Freeze Frame. Yeah, that's me wrestling with a guy on the floor in a pile of grease. He just shot himself in the dick.
It wasn't always like this.
Yeah, it wasn't always like this. A week ago, I ran this hot dog stand.
I was on top of the world.
I was on top of the world. I was about to get married to an editor of something. All right. Well, I feel like it's always, they're always about to marry like a PR person.
Yeah.
If it's a guy, they're about to marry an editor of a magazine or a PR person or a woman from a fancy family.
Do you remember when, like, John Kennedy, you know, the whole thing in the 90s, it was like John Jr.
Are any of them still alive?
Yeah, they're all dying. But he was getting married to Caroline, what was her name? Bouvier? No, that's his mother's name. Who was she getting?
Was he marrying another Kennedy? I don't know. These horse thieves, I get them all mixed up.
The blonde that they were getting married.
Okay.
And it was like, she works at Calvin Klein in the corporate office doing whatever, you know, PR or something.
Yeah, it is. It's always like that. Editorial stuff, PR, you know, that's what they do. They get married.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
Well, this was something that we brought up in another show, but I wanted to go into a little more detail.
Okay. I hope I remember it.
Proof that Americans are lying about their sexual desires.
Wow. Proof.
Yes. What Google searches.
Hardcore proof.
Yeah. Google searches for porn tell us about ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. it says, Google is a digital truth serum.
They got the four R's. #40th Street
We touched on this in a previous episode.
Okay.
But it's the...
previous episode, okay, you know it. Katie and Jaquetta discussed.
Well, Google searches for porn tell us about ourselves.
Okay.
Okay, and it...
Except for us, because as Hey You Know It podcast hosts... Our search histories are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Our search histories are all over the place. And it has
It's like sharks, wolves, penises.
All kinds
feet,
of things.
Feet, wine.
Aliens.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do
with any of that stuff.
But it's proof. All these Google searches are proof that Americans are lying about their sexual desires. So whatever they really want, they're looking for online, and it's all being tracked.
So they're saying they're looking for, like, women who weigh 110 pounds. Meanwhile.
Right. Exactly. That's one of the things. They say that there are more gay men in the closet than we think, and that men prefer overweight women to skinny women, but are afraid to act on it.
What do you mean by act on it?
Married women are disproportionately worried their husband is gay, and a lot more of straight women watch lesbian porn, and porn that features violence against women.
Huh.
And it's more, it's more popular with women than men.
That's interesting.
Yes, so they, it's really interesting because...
The one about more, I don't know, I'm going to say that I'm going to say one third of all men are somewhat gay, at least.
Okay.
So I wonder what, you know, when they say more, and women concerned about their husbands being gay. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They say sex is a big part of human nature, and everybody is obsessed with sex, and if they're not, they're lying.
Okay.
It's clear that first, we'll break it down a little bit, the couple of things that I touched on. A lot of gay men remain in the closet and in places where it's hard to be gay, such as Mississippi, far fewer men say that they are gay than in places where it's easy to be gay, such as New York.
Yeah, where so everybody will say they're gay, even if they're not.
But the gay porn searches are the same everywhere.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. That remains the same.
Yes. And let's see. And porn is a pretty good measure of people's sexual fantasies, even if they never act on them.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So 30% of the porn that's out there is really wildly disgusting. Like, people would find it highly inappropriate, the stuff that's out there. But it's just, we all have it.
Everyone's looking at it. Yeah. Everyone's horrified by that restaurant. No one eats there, but everyone's ordering from there.
So married people, the number one question women have about their husbands is whether he's gay.
Uh-huh.
And
you can't tell if your husband's gay.
And these questions are much higher in the Deep South.
Where men can't come out.
Yes, where more gay men are married to women.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what they really should be asking, they shouldn't be obsessed with their husband's sexuality.
They should be watching that lesbian porn.
Women are 8 times more likely to ask Google if their husband is gay than if he is an alcoholic or if he is depressed.
Wow.
And if,
well, they don't care about a sad drunk. They just want to know if he's porking dudes.
About 98% of women's husbands are really straight.
What?
Yeah.
98%?
Yeah. But
I wonder
really
how the men would react to this.
But they should be more worried about if their husband is an alcoholic
Or depressed.
And what the husbands are worried about,
mm-hmm.
they're Googling if their wives are crazy.
Is it? Okay.
But what they should be Googling is if their wives are more physically attracted to women than men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I boring my wife to the mm-hmm. point where she's going, where she appears to be, in my mind, going nuts?
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Then, sexual preferences that people hide, even in socially liberal places.
Feet. Feet is deep hidden in the dark web.
Mm-hmm. 1 in 100 people search for porn with the elderly.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, look, what's wrong with that?
Hundreds of thousands of young men are predominantly attracted to elderly women.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And very few men are in a relationship with an elderly woman.
It's hard to get into a relationship with an elderly mm-hmm. woman. First of all, she's probably not going to give you the time mm-hmm. of day. She's seen it all.
Yeah.
I went up to visit a friend of mine who's living in a retirement community, and the dating scene there, these ladies were just like, really? Still, I have to deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're older women. They've seen it. They've done it. And they're ready to be alone.
Yeah. Well, first we heard about like these outlandish, quote unquote, sexual preferences, such mm-hmm. as attraction to animals or family members or the elderly.
Okay. Why? I was like, why did they put the elderly in there?
That's not what they're saying.
That's problematic. I know. It's just upsetting because it's like, really, what's out, like a 70-year-old woman? You can put that in the same category with one that's to fuck your sister or your dog?
Well, it used to be featured really on like Jerry Springer shows. And that's what those shows were based on. And it was basically poor and uneducated people were put on the shows. And so one would associate those preferences with that socioeconomic group. But wealthy and educated people.
They're like an old lady.
They all like it too.
Wow. So there's hope for us in the future, huh?
Right.
as we get up there in age.
And then here it is. The author says, I'm certain a large number of men are more attracted to overweight women than skinny women, but try to date skinny women to impress their friends and family members.
Ain't nobody impressed by that anymore.
Porn featuring overweight women is surprisingly common among men, but dating sites tell us that it's just all about men trying to get skinny women.
Yeah.
Right? Many people don't try to date the people they're most attracted to. They try to date the people they think would impress their friends. And so what happens, they get into this cycle where it's a lot of single men and single overweight women, they would be sexually compatible, but they don't date. And the man tries to and fails to date a skinny woman, even though he's less attracted to her. So a guy's dating a skinny woman, doesn't like it. And then their women think that guys like skinny women. So they practically starve themselves trying to remain skinny so their husbands won't leave, even though their husband would be more attracted to them if they weighed more.
Oh, that is, to me, one of the worst. I don't know what, there's probably a German word for whatever that is, but it's just like, you know, an O. Henry nightmare.
Yeah.
And I've seen this before, though. Thin women, like, wondering what they can do,
mm-hmm.
right, to keep somebody. It's like, well, they don't want you in the first place. Like, don't you notice, have you seen the guys, like, porn?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is like a, you know, look at your partner's search history.
Yeah.
Or watch porn with your partner and see what they're going for. If you are 100 pounds and you're you know, everything is BBW
mm-hmm.
in your man's porn, guess what? Like, no amount, like, eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Right?
There are
have
women,
that pasta.
And then tastes vary, because there are women who just watch porn featuring short, fat men with small penises.
What?
Yeah.
Y'all hear that out there? Short, fat men with small penises? There's hope. And there's work, apparently. I love this. This is pornography is like the great equalizer.
Yes. And there are men who just watch porn featuring women with enormous nipples.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? I mean, this is all surprise. I don't think it's funny. Ha ha.
You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I know that about, as a black woman, because we're supposed to be one of the least desirable groups sexually, but the porn
is out
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody's watching black women porn, so someone's interested in us.
Yeah. In India, the searches are about advice on breastfeeding their husbands. Yeah.
So that's a big fetish for them.
Yeah. They
okay.
want to do that.
And they want to know how to do it properly. Indian women not playing around.
Yeah.
They want to administer that inappropriately.
And nobody talks about it openly. So it's all being searched on. Nobody talks.
Why do people think that it's not open when it's on the internet? That's what I still don't understand. Maybe we're, as a society, we're still getting used to that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, if it's on the internet, it's mm-hmm. open. You know what I mean?
Japanese men recently have become obsessed with tickling porn.
Oh, Lord. Ew. We, you know where we stand on that.
So,
to the side.
Yeah. And they say everybody has weird tastes. Everything is weird. Like
everything.
Whatever. They say, sometimes I think it would be a good thing if everyone's porn habits were released at once. It would be embarrassing for 30 seconds. Then we'd all get over it and be more open about sex.
Yeah, except for the dog people and the incest people. Yeah. They're not, going to come back from that.
No.
There's surely stuff out there that is not, like I say feet, but there's, you know, that's not weird.
Yeah. You know? About 20% of women watch lesbian porn. A lot of straight women watch lesbian porn.
Yeah. A lot of straight women watch gay porn, like gay male porn mm-hmm. too. It's more men.
Yeah.
In the frame.
Yeah.
If you're not into women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Right, right.
So yeah, they're having sex with each other, but whatever.
Yeah. Let's see.
This is fascinating.
They come to this point. One of the people in this interview say, I've always wondered how homosexuality made it through evolution. Like, mm-hmm. isn't evolution supposed to make people desire heterosexual sex with fertile people, right?
Really?
Well, but after studying porn, I realized homosexuality is hardly the only desire that doesn't make sense from an evolutionary perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea...
Skinny women doesn't make sense.
Like, we came from, like, hunter-gatherers. So we evolved in a certain way to be attracted to fertile people who could have a baby.
Yeah.
You know. But we don't, we're not, it's been a long time since we've been hunter-gatherers.
It's been a few days since we've hunted or gathered.
So the overwhelming desire for vaginal sex is not there.
Mm-hmm.
People want all kinds of sexuality outlets.
And
oral sex, foot sex,
foot,
elderly, tickling, animal sex with objects, etc.
Robots, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Also, too, now mm-hmm. you don't have to be as prolific because, you know, you have a better chance of your children surviving. So right. you don't have to, I don't think you have to spread your seed as widely as you used to have to.
Yeah. Less than 20% of porn watched these days features vaginal sex.
Wow, so it's over. Right. It's
so
over.
So it's the idea, like...
people want to see new stuff.
Sex is for more than just procreation.
Yeah, for fun.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. That's interesting. So now I'm going to move on. Now we've thoroughly trounced sex. I found this really cool article. This is a new site I've never heard of it before. It's called Atlas Obscura.
Oh, yeah.
It has a lot... You've heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting information, and they have a whole section on that they just started about food. So this was biomolecular evidence of the world's first wine, and
what?
They found Neolithic jars from Georgia, from the Republic of Georgia, containing residue from wine 8,000 years ago.
Oh my God, how was it?
How crazy is that? How was it? It was oaky. So it said, the nation of Georgia has long held a special place in the history of wine. This I heard of. They claim to be, like, they're like, we came up with wine. Mm-hmm. Like, we invented wine.
I don't think they did.
They're saying they did.
I doubt it.
And they have an iconic... So they're saying that the word wine or vino comes from the Georgian gvino, which means wine. So they're saying that they came up with it. One of the most iconic landmarks in their capital city is a statue called the Mother of Georgia. And in one hand, she holds a sword for the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other hand, bowl of wine. For the friends.
Oh, right.
Which I kind of like. So they're saying, you know, wine is at like the basis of a lot of things they do. A lot of medicine, is a social lubricant, blah, 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 whatever. So a team of archaeologists was studying residue in 8 large jars found at 2 Neolithic sites, 30 miles from the capital of Georgia. and they date those vessels from 6,000 to 5,800 BC. Mm-hmm. I'm always fascinated to see any object that is even, you know, 1,000 years old, but mm-hmm. like something that is from 5,800 to 6,000 BC.
Yeah.
That's still around.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that you could touch something that someone touched, you know, 8,000 years ago.
Yes, and that it just, it was put down somewhere and covered, and then didn't see the light of day.
What if someone just left it there and then went out, didn't come back?
Right.
Still there. So the new discovery is carried out by the Gadra-Kriili-Gora Regional Archaeological Project Expedition, also known as GRAPE.
Oh.
Well, at least they got it
on purpose. Yes. Come on.
And the oldest previously known evidence of wine comes from some jars found in the Zagros Mountains of Iran. So take that, Iran. You're not number one in wine anymore.
Yeah, Georgia's you're number two. Yeah.
It's a part of a wider project that's trying to reconstruct innovations that occurred during the Neolithic period, which started around 17,000 years ago in the Middle East. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I don't know that much about Neolithic history. Mm-hmm. But the idea that this stuff is around and that we're still using probably the same methods, you know, to create wine is pretty cool.
Well, you don't, if it ain't broke.
Yeah, don't fix it. They're saying that the Neolithic way of life, wine was a big part of it, the viticulture or viniculture, as they call it here. And then it spread across what they're calling Caucasia.
Caucasia.
I guess across the Caucasus Mountains into Caucasia. So they brought wine to the Caucasians.
Yeah.
And look what they did with it.
Yeah.
They went nuts.
Yeah.
They went nuts with it.
They started putting on yoga pants.
Yes. They didn't know what to do. So it says...
drinking their wine in their yoga pants.
And wine culture permeates every aspect of life in Georgia, from medical practices to special celebrations, as a medicine, social lubricant, mind-altering substances. I don't know what kind of wine they have. Mm. Highly valued commodity. It was the focus of religious cults. Sign me up for that religion. Mm. The cult of wine.
Yeah.
I'm there. Pharmaceuticals, cuisines, economics, and society. So all of these things were that came out of the viniculture.
Mm.
Pretty cool.
I like that.
I'd like to go to Georgia. It seems like an interesting place. I know there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there right now in terms of building. And apparently they have a lot of really, really old sites. And then they have this 8,000-year-old wine or 10,000-year-old wine. Mm. Not bad.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
All right, Tales from Their Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories, scary stuff, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where'd you get this one from?
This is just from a series of very scary stories.
Okay.
Let's see. So this one. It's called Underneath the Floorboards.
Oh, I like it.
In the summer of 2006, I subletted a house in the East End of Toronto. The house in this area...
That doesn't mean anything.
I know. The houses in this area are about a century old.
Okay.
And many have been turned into duplexes. I was in college at the time, and most of my friends went home for the summer. I became close friends with my neighbor. We'll call her Donna to protect her identity.
Really?
Why do they all have to do that?
I don't know.
Why do they have to tell us it's a
We know
name?
That it's not, and we'll never be able to track her down anyway. What if her real name is Donna?
Yeah.
And they're just trying to throw us off.
And we quickly started a daily ritual of coffee on my front porch in the morning.
Okay.
Donna rented the basement and the first floor of the house across the street from mine. One morning she came by and seemed extra tired. Donna.
Super tired.
Donna owned two eerily identical tuxedo cats.
Why is that eerie? I'm sorry. How different can a tuxedo look?
A tuxedo cat?
No, a tuxedo period. Like, if it's a tuxedo cat, it looks like it's wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah. I
cummerbund, no cummerbund, like what?
Bow tie.
Yeah.
And that ascot, night, no that ascot. Night, they both woke up at around 3 a.m. and started to meow. The meowing was so loud and constant it woke her up.
Mm-hmm.
She looked around her first floor bedroom and found them both in the corner staring up at the ceiling while scratching the walls.
Okay.
She thought it was weird, but assumed the cats probably heard a mouse in the walls, something not uncommon for their old house. Unfortunately, the cats began doing this nightly. Every morning.
At 3 o'clock?
Yes. Every morning for the next few weeks, she would tell me about her sleepless night with her twin cats. At one point, she locked them out of the bedroom, only to wake up to find them back in the same spot.
Yeah, because you can't, I'm not a cat person, and this is why. You can't mess with them. They don't care about you. They have something to do, and they're going to do it. They got in that room.
Every night, they managed to open the door and get in. How do they do that?
I had a cat that would figure out how to get into my room no matter what. I couldn't figure it out either. Eventually, I was just like, screw it. Just come in here, then. Keep the door open.
One morning, she came by and seemed really shaken. I asked her what happened, and she told me she had a really weird and realistic dream that night. In her dream, she woke up and saw a woman standing at the end of her bed.
It wasn't the cats being like, B, you better.
One on top of the other.
Yeah.
With a trench
coat. Stacked up. You know the drill.
Yeah. The woman's clothes weren't modern, something from at least 60 years ago. The woman was trying to talk to Donna.
So something from the 1960s?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Like, really? Okay.
The woman was trying to talk to Donna, but when she opened her mouth, all that came out was white noise.
Oh, man, I wish she had meowed.
I know, right?
And the cats were like, see?
Yeah. Donna tells the woman that she doesn't understand. The woman points to herself and rocks her arms back and forth. She licks her index finger and moves her finger from right to left.
Uh-huh. That's very complicated.
Yeah. Donna still doesn't know what she means and asks her again, but then she wakes up.
Mm. That's creepy.
So she had the dream several nights that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And each time the woman made the same hand movements right before Donna woke up. It became a major talking point for us for months. We were endlessly trying to figure out what the dream meant.
Yeah, what does that hand signal mean?
Flash forward to the summer of 2007.
Okay.
And Donna and I are now roommates in a different part of the city.
I wouldn't live with Donna. She's carrying around some bad shit.
One morning, I'm having my coffee, reading the news online, and I come across an article. Renovator uncovers mummified infant.
Huh?
I click on the article. It says that a man who was renovating a house near the east end of Toronto found a mummified infant wrapped in the newspaper from 1925. The child was hidden below the floorboards on the second story of this house. When I scroll down, I see the picture of Donna's old house. I yell down the hall at Donna to come see this.
Girl, you better see this. There was kids. There was dead white kids under the floorboard.
She looks at the article and her face goes white. We didn't have anything to say to each other. We both knew. This was Donna's house. The baby was found in the floorboards right above Donna's bedroom.
I would have moved out.
And the woman was telling her, my baby is wrapped in newspaper. That's what the licking of the finger was, turning the newspaper.
Oh, pages. Worst charade player ever. Like, that is terrible. Oh, the rocking of the baby?
Yeah.
And then reading a newspaper. To me, that's like rocking a baby and then be like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Waving your finger back and forth.
No babies.
Yeah.
Or be quiet, the baby's sleeping.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. That's creepy.
But yeah. She must have been like, every night the timer must have went off. I was just waking up.
I know. Then. Here we go again.
Yeah.
What happened to cats?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. So here's something I found that was, because we are always talking about the robo-apocalypse.
Yeah.
This one's creepy. Monkeys controlling robot arms with their minds show how brains can be reprogrammed. All of this is wrong.
Every bit of
it.
Everything from monkeys to arms.
Every part of the sentence is wrong.
It's like, it's minds. And
so
robots.
It says, researchers at the University of Chicago showed a trio of rhesus monkeys. So the rhesus monkeys are the ones that I think are going to kick off the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
These are monkey amputees that they say had been injured,
they say,
and they had to take their arm off. There are three of them. They had their limbs removed between 4 and 10 years ago. So each monkey has learned to grasp a ball using a robotic limb through trial and error, and then they're given juice. So they have it's hooked up to their brains, and they're also monitoring their brains at the same time so we can see what's going on. So, and these monkeys have learned to use their minds, which is a weird way to say it, to use their minds to operate a robotic arm to grab a ball. And if it works, they get some juice.
Okay.
I'm like, That is an amazing task. You better give them a banana up the game a little bit.
No,
you know
kidding,
what I'm saying?
Right?
Juice just for that. So the crazy thing about, that's not the crazy part. The crazy part is that after doing this for 40 days, they saw that the monkeys' brains were changing.
Changing into what?
They were getting smarter, I guess. And the brains were starting to change and reorganize themselves and develop like new kind of muscle memory in the brain. Mm. I know. So it's like electrodes are implanted close to the monkey's skulls. They do the double duty of allowing the monkey to control the arm with their thoughts, which is weird.
Yeah.
And allowing the scientists to monitor the change. So they're hoping in the future, they want to figure out how to make more prosthetics, you know, work in this way. They're claiming it's DARPA, of course. They're
claiming. God. Yeah, no, DARPA.
I know. They're claiming.
Hi, DARPA. We like you.
You're great. Yeah. The military hopes these findings could someday be used to benefit soldiers who have lost limbs on the battlefield. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, how about working on not losing the limbs in the first place? Called peace. But the second part being, I don't believe that they're doing it to help anybody.
No.
I think the point of this is to be able to control a complete robot remotely.
Yeah.
With a monkey brain.
Yeah. With a monkey brain.
With a brain of some kind.
Like they can all sit there in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And just control armies.
Yeah. With monkeys. You know what? Maybe monkeys will be better off running things. I don't know.
I don't think they do. I'm just saying, no, they will be able to.
I've just seen a monkey with a lot of fruit salad, a nice a hat at a jaunty angle sitting in the war room.
Yeah.
Just getting juice. Left, right, and center.
Cute little monkey.
It's so weird. What if I would love it if the researcher came by and the monkey was like to the other one, he's like, hey, watch this. And he used a robotic arm to throttle the dude. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to grab somebody. They're going to grab up something, throw it at someone.
Because free will is free will. Yeah. No matter how much control you think you have.
They're going to figure out the three monkeys together, how to like come together and walk somewhere on two of those arms and then swipe some more juice. Like they're going to go to the refrigerator and get out an entire thing of juice.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find out it's Sunny Delight, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
When they read and see it's not actually juice.
That's not juice.
They're going to be
mad.
That's
Sunny D.
Then they're going to go around throttling people. They're going to unlock the door and go out. You can see monkeys running down the street with a big arm.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm over my fear of monkeys. Those of
Are
you who listen to the podcast,
you used to.
Used to have a huge fear of them. But then when I was in Costa Rica, I saw lots of them, and they were very nice. And now I'm saying, know what? They were pleasant. They're no worse than human beings. I say, yeah, sure. Give them a gun. Give them an arm. I don't care. Yeah. They're not going to do a worse job
than anybody else.
Than anybody else right at now. This point.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let them in the White House. Whatever. I don't care.
Do a better job.
Do a better job. Once again. Controlling a monkey controlling a robotic arm with his mind. They probably have more morality than we do. The fact that they haven't done anything untoward with an arm already.
Oh. Have you heard of the new craze? It's called earthing.
No.
Yes, earthing. Earthing. I read the article. I don't have the notes with
me.
Okay,
you don't need them.
It's earthing. So it's the idea that you walk around barefoot on grass. Soil.
Like I did in my yard as a child.
Yes, or even concrete to absorb the minerals and the benefits of the earth and make you healthier.
Wow.
Yes, they say that if you walk around like every day barefoot, and concrete too, which surprised me, that it stimulates your immune system, it helps you sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
I think like everything that's wrong with you can fix itself, basically.
Bam, bam, being barefoot. I've heard similar things about, not so much with the minerals, but just the, a foot doctor that I had years ago told me that everyone should be massaging their feet for like 15, 20 minutes every day. Like really, not massaging them so much to alleviate pain, but like the same way that you that you work your hands, opening and closing your hands, because it provides a lot of like benefits around circulation and things like this. And the fact that we wear hard-soled shoes all the time and we're always walking on like a pretty normal flat surface is like robbing us of the flexibility of our feet.
Right.
I don't know about the minerals. I don't know if I want anything from concrete getting up on my feet.
No, it says that those kind of surfaces are conductors to the benefits of the earth and your feet soak them in.
Huh.
And it's very good for you. And
what if I just lay on the ground?
You can lay on the ground, yes.
Okay.
Any kind of contact to your body that has with the ground. Yeah, so lay on the grass, lay on soil. lightly on concrete.
There must be something to it, though.
There is. I think that there is something to it. But then when I got to the bottom of the article, they talked about it. Well, if you can't walk on wood, so your wood floors in your apartment are not good for that.
Because they've been treated.
Yeah. And they don't conduct the same way these other surfaces do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, oh, yeah, of course we have a few mats, and you could put this in your bed and sleep on it, and that
goodness.
Would help. But
why not just go for a walk somewhere where it's clean and safe?
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah.
I know that whenever we go on vacation, that's usually the only time I'm barefoot, except for when I go back to my mom's mm-hmm. house, because we have a big yard there, and you can be barefoot. After walking around barefoot for a while, I find that my legs are stronger, and I feel more energized.
Yes.
Which is a little disconcerting, because we walk a lot in New York.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, walking around in New York all day is fine. I get home, no problem. Walking on the beach for even, like, you know, 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, the beach is a different story.
You
know. The sand.
But I feel like it's good for you, right?
Yeah, it is good for you. It's good. Well, walking on sand is just, it's a different exercise altogether.
Yeah. I like it. All right.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.